We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson.
And Holiday, the dribble penetration. So tough going to the goal.
High up on the rim to rip it down.
Welcome to In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots Podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Dua and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time.
Welcome to part two of our two-part podcast with Austin Robert. We'll be tackling more of your questions and other topics that come our way. So without further ado, here we go.
Mason, you're going to get married soon. What is going on with that in this environment?
I saw that question. I was like, okay, we can talk about this. But it's a little scary, to be honest. I mean, and caveat of obviously, I know that it pales in comparison to a lot of other people are dealing with right now, but like, I canceled my bachelor party a week ago, which was set for mid-May. And now it's like, my wedding's in August. So it's August 22nd. And like, it's no sure thing that this is going to happen, which is, it will happen. It's no sure thing it's going to happen in the format that we have anticipated and been planning for. So we'll see. I don't know, just like we don't know when basketball's coming back. But it's, you know, not ideal.
Damn. Austin, did you guys like officially finish school? Did you get a degree? Like where are you in that situation?
We're doing Zoom classes right now. All of my finals have gone to mandatory pass-fail now. So that's kind of crazy. I don't think there's been like a time like that for law schools since, you know, like World War II or something like that. So it's pretty unprecedented. I think the even more unprecedented thing is when we do graduate in May, we are all scheduled to take the bar in July, which will be unlikely to happen. Usually they have, you know, 500 to 1,000 people in one room taking the bar. Even when the curve does flatten, it's still that type of numbers I don't think will be possible until, maybe until you have a vaccine. So and they don't want to go online. There's too many cheating issues and other things that could come up. So there's just a giant question mark, even more. I think for finals, we're not too worried, but for the bar, it's giant question mark. No clue what's going to happen there. And I mean, there's petitions going around where people want the state to switch to degree privilege, which basically means that if you graduate law school, you are automatically admitted to the bar, which there is some precedent for that. They did do that during World War II. I think they did that during the Spanish flu of 1918. Wisconsin actually still does that today. If you graduate from the University of Wisconsin, you're automatically admitted to the Wisconsin bar. So there's some precedent there, but they really haven't given us any information yet on what they're going to do. It's definitely uncharted territory right now.
Yeah, that's kind of wild. It just feel like everyone talks about how the impact of this has been far-reaching, but it's definitely different to hear it from people that you're friends with and close to. So it's definitely grounding. With that being said, do you guys have any predictions on if the season is going to come back or not? If you had to give it a percent chance out of 100, what would you give it?
Just having a crowning NBA champion, like that's what you're referring to, right?
Yeah, season comes back in any capacity.
Yeah. 1-3. I think is where I'm at right now. And like that, I was erring on the side of more optimism and saying that I thought that the league would try to do whatever it could to shorten this season and play the playoffs, even if it meant shortening next season, just because of the financial implications. Like they make a lot of their money from playoff revenue. And so I thought they would try to, you know, and I'm sure that's what they're still trying to do is like still get the playoffs in. And if you've got to start the next season on Christmas, like you did the lockout year, you do it. But man, there's just so much uncertainty right now. And I'm just, I would bet against the season coming back, but I'm not at the point where I think it's a lost cause. But it's certainly under 50% is where I'm at.
What about you, Mason?
I agree. I was going to say before Mason even said that about 35% chance is what I would give it. I would say for fans being there, I'd give it a 0% chance. I'd give it a 0% chance next season for fans to be there even. I think
until
we have a vaccine, because of the antibodies, I don't think there's going to be fans at any games until a vaccine comes out. And that's just the reality of this being able to spring back up at any point when you have that many people in one location. So, I mean, that's the feeling I get from what I've seen. I'm optimistic that, you know, we can have a shortened playoff and a championship, but who knows really?
Wow. That's pretty incredible. I'm going to take the other approach. I think there's a greater than 50% chance they finish this current season in any capacity. I do agree that there's going to be no fans. I do think that they're going to find a solution. What, like some sort of bubble solution that allows them to at least wrap up the playoffs. I have no idea how they're going to figure out draft seeding in those situations. It's a lot of logistics to consider, but I do think that they'll probably do something, whether it's starting back up in August or July. It's crazy you mentioned no fans until vaccine, and logistically it makes sense. You know, in our group chat, we've had many a discussion on like what constitutes opening everything back up and how do they do it? What's the approach and what is the timeline? And so far there's like really not any great answers. There's all these strategies like, well, you know, you ease people back in, especially those that have already been infected, and you have rapid testing and you track all these people, yada yada yada. I just feel like once we go down that route, if we don't have all the proper structures in place and there is another outbreak, I don't think we as a country are going to tolerate shutting things down again, even though it is 100% the right thing to do. I feel like a lot of people are going to be very upset, and I don't want to know what that looks like. And but I do think several months from now they will find a way to finish out the NBA season. That is where I'm at. But given the flux of the situation, do you think that impacts season ticket sales in any capacity for the following season? Typically teams around this time of the year are ramping up their sales packages, trying to secure as many seats and all of that. Especially if the team is doing well, they can sell hope for a better future. But like, what does that even look like at this point?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I think the undersold factor in this is disposable income for people. I mean, like this, the country's in a recession. I mean, like even put the health of it, health aside and whether or not we can have fans in stadiums, like people, like that's, I'm not saying it's the first thing you cut because people are irrational and they need, they if you love your sports, you're going to make other concessions to go and go watch a game. But I mean, the people who were the more casual fans, like they're, I mean, you're going to lose some season ticket holders just because you don't have as much money to spend on stuff like that, I think is the reality of it. And so, and I mean, let's be honest about New Orleans. I mean, it's not one of the more affluent markets in the country. And so that's, I mean, maybe, and so it could have, I know that the Pelicans have one of the cheapest tickets in the league too. So it's like, it's kind of relative, but yeah, I mean, I think the whole league's going to have to be a little concerned about that. I mean, there's other factors at play here macroeconomically than just like, you know, season ticket holder or selling, how to sell season tickets, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And I can't remember the exact poll that I saw. I want to say it was a Gallup poll, but it basically said that a majority of people in the U.S., even after a government go-ahead was given to go reconvene in public places, they would not feel comfortable doing so until there's a vaccine. So I think that you're definitely going to have issues with people just not willing to, even if the league did say we're having fans next season. I don't think there's a lot of people who would be willing to go do that unless there's a vaccine around at that point.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I wonder, you know, like the teams have taken a lot of actions to help the employees around the arenas and stadiums and whatnot. And I don't think there has been many communication from teams to their existing season ticket holders. But, you know, we've seen teams like freeze prices and do all of that. I think the question right now is, do you even get a refund for the remaining games you have left? And the NBA has to come up with a solution or a decision before, I guess, they even go down that road. And then I feel like in conjunction with that, they have to come up with some sort of plan that I feel that incentivizes people to purchase these things when everything is cleared to come back. So I don't think that's going to be necessarily, you know, something one team comes up with and other teams do differently. It's probably going to take a lot of collaborative effort with the teams working together and the league office to figure out an amenable solution for the rest of it. I think once a good model is in place, you're going to see many teams follow that. At least that would be my hope. It'd be kind of sucky if one team has this great compensation for the missed games this year and create incentives for future games. And then another team's like, ha, screw you. And you get nothing, which you could totally see something like the Rockets holding on to any kind of money they can. You never know, but.
With currently no NBA, NHL, or MLB, you might think there's nothing to bet on. Well, you'd be wrong. Our exclusive partner still has hundreds of sports, events, and games to wager on. Or let them bring Vegas to you with their online casino and blackjack, all open 24 hours a day and all online, including their $750,000 poker series. If you're into props and entertainment betting, you can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and even the weather. Visit their website and join today to receive a 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Be sure to use promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
Enough kind of, I guess, morbid talk. Do you guys see any kind of silver lining coming out of this, whether it's the NBA or public in general? Cool. Yeah, silence.
I think Mason is currently muted, but I will go ahead and say that I think one thing is when this does end, that there will definitely be a big boost of people, you know, looking to get out and do things and, you know, as much as possible. So I think that there's definitely going to be a giant stimulus of people just looking to take trips, go out and do whatever, you know, just finally being released from confinement, basically. I also think that maybe, you know, especially in the United States where we have such a divide between people that trust the media and people who have absolutely zero trust for any media. I'm optimistic in this, but maybe thinking that, you know, seeing news sources or at least some news sources coming out early and saying, you know, that this is something serious that people need to be aware of and people need to take measures for, that maybe in the future people will be more willing to, you know, heed those warnings and have, you know, at least slightly more trust in the media.
I think that's optimism.
So, yeah, maybe it is.
Yeah.
But you got reason.
Yeah. I hope you're right. I think it's optimistic. If there's a silver lining for me, and it's more personal, I feel like I can say this for both my fiance and myself. I think we've spent more time connecting with friends that don't live in the same city as us than I have in the past. And like, it's mostly because people are now confined to be at home and got to find ways to spend the time. And that's kind of like it's a deficit I've felt personally for a while since moving to Chicago. I mean, it's like, you know, New Orleans, I had all my friends there. And then a bunch of people for grad school when I was in Austin, we all moved to Austin at the exact same time. And so we become friends with each other. And then Chicago, you know, moved here for work and it never really had didn't have the same type of big camaraderie, big group. And so catching up with all my friends over the country who, you know, they're all in the same situation and getting to spend more time with them, even though it's virtually, I think that's been kind of cool. But that's finding a, like you said, silver lining where I can.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, my silver lining is that it's given me an opportunity to work on things I didn't necessarily have time for before. And so I'm working on a couple things in Python. I'm getting back into trying to build tools that'll help us analyze the NBA better, working on a couple of projects there. And also, like, I'm not gonna lie, like, I've had nothing better to do but get in shape. And so I'm exercising a lot more and I'll probably continue to do that because, again, ain't shit else to do. So that is my silver lining. I did like how you mentioned this has allowed people to connect on a, I guess, much higher level than they were connecting before. It's definitely a positive outcome.
What's the workout routine like now? I mean, is it just running? Is there stuff you're doing from home? Like, what are you doing?
So this is interesting. I coached the Emory men's ultimate frisbee team, and I issued a challenge to my kids. I said, if any of you guys can beat me in a mile by the time this all blows over, I'll buy you a case of beer. And if you can't beat me in a mile, you owe me a single beer. So the odds are pretty good for them in terms of the return. But what they don't know,
I heard is you're offering to buy minors alcohol.
They're not minors, dude. They're college kids.
They're not.
I'm not offering to buy minors.
Earmuffs, Mr. Law Degree over there.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Okay, you cop. But yeah, Mason, so
narc.
So I ran cross country and track in high school and my first 2 years of college. I wasn't like an elite runner, but I was pretty good. I topped out in the mile around 4:36.
What?
Yeah, I was pretty good.
Hold on.
How did I not know that?
How did you not know that? I don't know.
Did you run any other events?
So the mile was my favorite event. I ran everything from with regularity. I ran everything from the 800 to 10K.
Okay, that was my. I ran the 800.
Hated it
for Catholic High. Yeah,
you ran 800 for Catholic.
Yeah, I did.
Oh my god. Yeah,
so it's a grueling race.
The worst race. Yeah,
for sure.
But. And then, like, I occasionally, because, like, I ran for Ben Franklin and we didn't really necessarily have a 4x4 team, so I would run the 4x4 at the end after my 2 mile.
I would run the 4x4 in JV meets. That was fun.
Nice.
Just going, you know, mess around.
Yeah. And so I am nowhere near in that kind of mile shape at the moment. Probably in the low sixes / high fives at the moment. And so I was kind of like reading.
That's still good. I couldn't even come close to that at this point.
Well, I gotta really stay good in shape for Ultimate, and it's a lot of running because like a weekend of Ultimate, like I put in over a weekend of Ultimate, you have around 7 games. You end up running about 20-ish miles or so total. So it's, yeah. So like, I mean, I haven't been like running necessarily regularly, but I'm in decent shape. And so I was reading some articles. I'm like, well, how do you, you know, what's the best way to get back in shape? And pretty much all of the running literature there is out there talks about building an aerobic base and building your capacity by just doing long, slow runs. And so like you slowly increase your mileage every week. And but the goal of it is just, you're not really pushing yourself. You're just getting out there and running. And that's the best way to build your aerobic capacity. And then you start doing speed work and all of that. And like, I'm like, I don't want, cause like one of the reasons I quit college cross country and stuff, we were doing 70, 80 mile weeks and it was destroying my body. And I hated running for that long. And I was like, I'd rather just do shorter, quicker stuff that's more interval related. And so I'm going to see if I can get back in sub 5 minute mile shape without doing long runs. And so I haven't really defined myself like what a long run is, but I'm thinking at no point do I want to run more than 5 miles. And majority of my training is just going to be shorter, quicker interval stuff and just a lot of repeats and where I can increase or decrease the rest depending on it and see where it goes. So I'm on like day 3 of that. And so I did a series of sprints where I sprinted for 20 seconds at a 10 second break, sprinted for 20 at a 10 second break, sprinted for 20. And that was a set of 3. And then I did 3 sets of 3. I was dead by the end of it. And so we'll see if this training method is effective, because what I was reading online, there's been a lot of recent literature that suggests that you can have equivalent, you can build your aerobic base equivalently by just doing like the high intensity interval training stuff. And they, like some studies showed that if you did like 4 of those workouts over a course of a week and compared it to like a group that was doing 5 workouts where they were running like 30 minutes a day, or the people that did like the 10 minute high intensity workouts had the same gains as the other group. And there's been a lot more studies on that. So I have no clue if any of that actually works. And I feel like I might as well be a human guinea pig at this point, because I don't want to be in a situation where I'm running a heavy mileage. And so for me, it's a lot of running, but it's not a lot of running. And trying to do like body weight stuff to stay in shape. So like push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups, body weight squats, that kind of stuff. That's my workout routine.
Do you have a brand of running shoe that you swear by?
Asics.
Yeah. So like most runners have a brand that there's like, that's the only one that I'll potentially run in.
Yeah. I mean, it's, for me, it's Asics and specifically like the GT 2000 series. But when I was in college, I would, and I guess high school, I would train in ASICS, but I would race in something else. So most of the time it was like Nike flats or Nike spikes.
Yeah.
Eventually I ended up finding some ASICS spikes that I really liked. I switched to those. But there were a couple of different racing flats that I tried, and I really liked the Nike one. So I would race in something other than I trained with. But yeah, that's how I've been working out. And I feel like we can end the podcast here. Have fun listening to me talk about running.
Nobody builds 5G like Verizon builds 5G, because we're the engineers who built the most reliable network in America. And the more you do with 5G, the more building it right matters. The more your network matters. The more Verizon engineers going the extra mile matters. It's us pushing us. It's Verizon versus Verizon. 5G built right from America's most reliable network. Most reliable based on rankings from RootMetrics second half 2020 U.S. report of 3 mobile networks. Results may vary. Award is not an endorsement.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.